This is the Wednesday, June 15th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for tonight and through the weekend. So settle in and we'll set you up in a little more than 10 minutes with everything you need to know heading into a fun betting slate.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. It's Tyler Foljam and Anita Marks with you on this Wednesday, and we have major championship golf to discuss. So for a couple of golfing fiends, let's start there. The Country Club at Brookline, site of the, I believe, 122nd United States Open Championship. Always one of the toughest tests that you'll see each and every year, Anita. The rough is high, greens are small, fairways are tight. And it's a field that is the deepest, as you will see, of any in the world. So I'll let you tee off first, Anita. What plays, what ways are you looking to attack betting the United States Open?
Yeah, as you said, Tyler, right, best in the business that are going to start teeing it up tomorrow. So in looking for a winner, as we know, it's always hard. Listen, I had Tony Finau last week, came close, but I didn't get that cigar. It's hard to pick a winner, but I'm looking at somebody who's got some really good odds that I think are going to surprise some people. And I'm going with Sungjae Im to win. You could get that at 40-1. And I'm going to play him across the board, top 5, top 10, top 20, top 40 as well. He always plays well on the big stage, tied for second and tied for 8th. His last two Masters appearances, tied for 17th at the PGA Championship. And when I did a deep dive in regard to what you need in your bag to win on this track, he checks a lot of boxes. 29th in driving accuracy. As you know, you need to stay out of the rough here, boy. These guys aren't playing. 7th in greens and regulation. You've got to get on. And also, you got to know where to land the ball because putting's going to be fast. And 3rd in scrambling. And you always have to scramble well at the U.S. Open. So I'm going to go for those long odds. I'm putting some money on Sungjae Im. Also, to finish in the top 20, give me some Max Homa. First two tour wins were both on major championship quality courses. He excels on very difficult tracks as well. Tied for 5th at the Memorial, where he only needed, get this, man, this is called putting envy. He only needed 99 putts that week in 4 rounds. I mean, man, if my flat stick performed like that, I'd be shooting 72, 73 every time I went out. And then I've got two dudes that I like to finish in the top 40. And these are, I think, some sleeper plays. One is Scott Stallings. You can get him at plus 250. He's a local guy. This is his dream. This is his bucket list of all bucket lists to play in a U.S. Open in his own backyard. He's going to have a ton of friends and family there. He knows this track better than most, and this is his mission. So really, a really fun story to get behind. So I'm going to, for plus 250, I'm going to put some money that he's going to finish in the top 40. And last but not least, I think Ryan Fox is a sneaky good play at plus 250 as well. He's played well overseas. He's finished 6 straight tournaments. He's finished in the top 15. He's a big hitter and his game is on point. So I got him. I just don't think a lot of people know a lot about Ryan Fox. I just was turned on to him this week myself. So again, to finish in the top 40 at plus 250, those are 4 of my favorite plays, Tyler.
Yeah, Fox is one of the hottest golfers in the world, though many over here may not know it because he plays on the World Tour, the European Tour. So I have Fox in my daily fantasy lineup. Some of the other names you mentioned as well, Max Homa, I'm big on him. I'm going to try and find a couple of big paydays here. Let's start with a first-round leader at 60-1, Aaron Wise. 60-1 to be your first-round leader. He's 7th on tour this season in first-round scoring average, 68.7. So he's one of the best first round performers that we have on the tour so far this season. He also has the benefit of being the Thursday AM flight. There's not a drastic difference in terms of the flight, but it certainly is going to be a little more advantageous to be teeing off Thursday morning. And then Friday afternoon, Thursday morning is going to be the most docile weather conditions that we will see on Thursday and Friday. The wind picks up into Friday or Thursday afternoon and kind of maintains at a similar rate all through Friday morning and Friday afternoon. So guys that have that Thursday morning start might have a little bit of a weather advantage. Wise is in that grouping, and he's been one of the best first round scorers on tour this season. So 60-1 to be your first round scoring leader. Xander Schauffele is my pick to win at 22-1. I also am top 10 at plus 225. He's never finished worse than seventh in five career U.S. Open starts. That's just absolutely remarkable. X-Man plays his best when courses are their most difficult and when the field is the deepest. So that's my official pick to win. And plus 225 seems like good value to be inside the top 10, something he's never not done at a United States Open Championship. So we'll break this down a little bit further today on Bet. 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And today on Daily Wager, we'll have the caddy be joining us on both shows, get picks from everyone on Daily Wager at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Let's move to the ice, where we have game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs taking place. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche. Avalanche just absolutely storming through the Western Conference, sweeping Nashville, sweeping Edmonton, lost just two games to the St. Louis Blues in the second round. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Lightning are a team that is looking for a third consecutive Stanley Cup championship. They had some more difficult series, especially that last series against the New York Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Lightning are underdogs in this series and underdogs in game one. How are you looking to approach either the series or game one of the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, first things first, series. I'm going Avalanche here to win 4-2. You get that at 4-1. Lightning might have the best goaltender. Well, not might. We know that they do. But the Avalanche, to me, are the better team. Tampa has struggled against high-powered offenses, and Colorado, in my opinion, really presents a different challenge for them because they're so aggressive and they're so physical. A lot more physical team than we saw the Rangers, right? Like, so I think Vasilevsky is going to have his hands full with this offense, and the Avalanche, they average about 5 goals per game. So with that being said, I'm going to go for this first game tonight. I'm going to play the over here, over six or plus. Here's some interesting trends that I came across, Tyler. Six or more goals have been scored in game one of the Stanley Cup since 2017, except one that was in 2020, and 5 goals were scored. The over is 17-6 when the line is six or more for Colorado. The over is 12-6 combined with 3 days off. And, you know, as we know, again, Vasilevsky, we saw him. He had a slow start against the Rangers because of the time off. Interesting to see if that's going to be the same case here in game one. And again, like I said, Colorado, just a different animal when it comes to the Rangers and more offensive firepower. So series, Avalanche, we'll win it in four to two. And then this tonight's game, I'm taking the over at six.
Yeah, I like the overplay. I think these are two offenses that can really light the lamp, especially on the Avalanche side. Darcy Kuemper looks like he may be back, but he's not a goalie that intimidates me in any way. Vasilevsky would be that on the other side, but Colorado's offense is just so potent. It's going to be a stern test for Vasilevsky. I think both teams are going to be able to, it's going to be kind of some back and forth action, put a lot of shots on net. One specific prop I have for game one is Vasilevsky over 32.5 saves. Again, I think he's going to see, you know, 35 to 40 shots from the Colorado Avalanche. I like in the series, the Avalanche plus a game and a half at the Lightning, I should say. I like in the series, the Lightning at plus a game and a half, minus 135 is the price. I think this is a little disrespectful to the Lightning, some of the pricing in the series. I think the Lightning could win it. Let's just start there. So if they win it, the plus a game and a half is obviously gravy. But I think if they are to lose this series, they're going to push Colorado to the brink. This is not the Nashville Predators. This is not even the Edmonton Oilers. I think the St. Louis Blues are the best team that the Avalanche played in the Western Conference Finals. The Lightning are even a step above them with Vasilevskiy and Net. Of course, Jordan Binnington got hurt in that series, but the Blues were able to push Colorado to six games. Vasilevskiy will be the best goalie they have seen so far. And I think the Lightning will be the deepest, toughest, hardest team for the Avalanche to take on. So plus a game and a half in this series, in a series that I think the Lightning can absolutely win. But if the Avalanche do win, I think it's likely going to take them seven games to do so. I like that pricing in the series. So game one, Vasilevskiy over a save prop. Over is the total I like as well. But I do like getting an extra game and a half head start for the Lightning on the series price. So game one should be fun. Puck drop 8 Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific tonight. Finally, let's wrap it up in baseball. Got games all day as it is a Wednesday travel day. Anything that stands out to you that you want to share with the people, Anita?
Yeah, two games. One is right here in my own backyard, and that's with the Yankees going up against the Rays. I'm going first 5 innings under 3.5 runs. You've got Nasty Nestor on the bump for the Yankees, and you've got McClanahan, who's on the bump for the Rays. Both of them sport an ERA that's under 2. Both have held their opponent to one run the last time these two teams faced each other. And McClanahan, he's averaging 2 or less runs a game every time he starts 10 of his last 12 games. So some excellent pitching is going to be showcased in this matchup. So again, I'm going first 5 innings under 3.5 runs, and you get that at minus 120. And probably my favorite play is the Braves, man. They are just crushing the cover off the ball. They're going up against Washington, 17 home runs in their last 4 games, 7th best offense in Major League Baseball, 11-2 on the run line their last 13 games. And they're going up against Fetty. He's given up 10 home runs in 31 innings, and he's got a 10.80 ERA every time he faces the Braves. So so again, Braves on the run line, and Yankees Rays under 3.5 runs first 5 innings.
All right, a couple I want to look at here today. Shane McClanahan, Tampa Bay starter, over 6.5 Ks, minus 130 against those New York Yankees, one of the best teams in all of baseball, maybe the best. McClanahan, though, is maybe the top strikeout artist we have in Major League Baseball right now. He's fanned at least 7 in 11 of his 12 starts this season. That includes fanning 7 Yankees in 6 innings on May 29th. His K rate is 35.5 this season. Despite the Yankees having a robust offense, McClanahan always gets and racks up his strikeouts. So I'll play him over 6.5. I like the Cardinals on the run line to complete the sweep versus the Pirates. Jack Flaherty will make his season debut. He's on a pitch limit of 60 pitches, but the Cardinals have run line the Pirates in all 3 games so far this series. They swept a doubleheader yesterday. Paul Goldschmidt is white hot. The team is finally getting healthy with their offense. Again, in all three wins, so far this series have been by at least 2 runs. The Pirates have been on the road for a long time. They got swept by the Braves, the loudest teams in baseball. Now they're taking on a Cardinals team that's the strongest it's been all season. I think they're just a little road weary right now as that series wraps up at Busch Stadium. And then I want to point out the Cubs and Padres playing today at Wrigley Field. The temperature on the north side of Chicago is expected to be in the 90s all evening long. So it's going to be warm. And the winds are blowing out straight away to center, basically, at 20-plus miles an hour. If you go back to last night, Anita, the Padres and the Cubs combined for 17 runs. San Diego scored 12. The Cubs scored 5 in a 12-5 win last night. The conditions are even more conducive to offense tonight. So I'm going to play the game over 11.5, but
love it.
A fun way to get a little extra juice, a little extra candy here at plus 130, you can play both teams to score 5 or more runs, and that's plus 130. So even if the game goes under and it's a 6-5 win for one team, you cash a plus 130 bet. Again, the market is telling us they expect 12 runs at the very least, because the over 11.5 is juiced to minus 120. If you look on Caesars, you can get a alternate line or an alternate game prop of both the Cubs and Padres scoring 5 plus at plus 130. That's way better pricing. Both teams did score 5+. The pitching matchup today is not a great one. It's Ryan Weathers making his debut for the Padres. He's a lefty who will not, he'll probably have a short, a short leash and a low pitch count. He's certainly not a pitcher that scares us right now, especially making his debut. And then Caleb Killian is the starter for the Cubs, who's got a 5.40 ERA, although he's only pitched 5 innings so far this season. So hitting conditions are ideal on the north side of Chicago. I got both the Cubs and the Padres scoring 5+ at +130. That's going to be my best bet today on Daily Wager. So make sure you tune into that, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Bet will be on our digital platforms like our YouTube channel, ESPN Sports Betting. Go subscribe there, 4 p.m. Pacific, or 4 p.m. Eastern, I should say, 1 p.m. Pacific. Busy day. Busy slate for Wednesday and through the weekend with the U.S. Open, the NBA Finals, the NHL Stanley Cup Final, and, of course, Big League Baseball in the midst of its regular season. Always fun with Anita Marks here on this Wednesday edition of Daily Wager. A little bit more than 10 minutes of the bets you need, but like I said, it's a jam-packed slate. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe or wherever you are listening to this podcast. It helps us out greatly. And we will see you today on Bet and Daily Wager and see you back here tomorrow on the Daily Wager podcast.